Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
For 20 years, he was one of the biggest names in Twin Cities television. I have to say one of, or Don Shelby, will absolutely destroy me. Paul Majors joins us on Jason Talks the Media. Hi, Paul. Yeah. Are you in the East Coast? Are you all right?
No, I'm just old.
How old are you?
I just turned 69.
69. Do you feel old?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. When I
I don't feel old.
No, you shouldn't, right? You're retired. No, you're living. You're living a good life out in California.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Got a double wide out in the desert, and an RV and four wheeler.
Hey, it's not bad.
How do you beat it? Yeah. You know,
20 years.
Beer bottles off a fence.
Is that what life is like? You're in Palm Springs, right?
I live in Palm Springs now. Yes.
Yes.
This is
what we have to look forward to when we get retired from the Twin Cities broadcast airwaves.
You may not be so fortunate.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I can guarantee that. I was looking through old videos of you on the anchor desk. I want to play. I have two of them. I want to play for you.
All right.
The first was a promo that they made for you in 1984.
Wow.
Where you don't even get to hear your voice, which sounds, you're like, yep, 1984. This is what all the promos sounded like. How about that? Were you that good of a human being? I mean, that sounded amazing.
Well, the two of the miracles, I've got one more, and I think it's sainthood for me, but, that was one of them, by the way, that the Pope acknowledged.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, it's right here on YouTube. So the Pope,
there you go.
Pope
so
couldn't deny it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The video shows you, like, holding a disc sander and like sanding someone's paint off the side of their house.
Oh, well, you know what we did as a station? We did that numerous times, actually. You know how you would go like, it was like help a senior day.
Oh,
here.
I can't remember
what the designation was, but we would go as a group. And actually we actually had a lot of fun doing that, where we'd like clean up the yard and paint houses several times. We did that.
Do you miss the action, the camaraderie? Do you miss any aspect of working in a TV newsroom?
The camaraderie I miss. Yeah, I miss that. I miss the friendships. You know, seeing people on it, like you just said, eventually people, will they go back downtown? Lord knows, I don't know. But I miss the going into the office and seeing the people on a daily basis, hearing about their families, hearing about their kids. Just hearing their stories. I miss the daily interaction.
It's a unique work environment, I think, because, everyone in your workplace, you get to know the people you work with. But I'm convinced, especially now that I've been out of TV for a year here in radio, that our operation in radio is so much smaller. And the number one thing when people say, like, oh, do you miss being on TV? No. But
no.
I do miss being around those people. I miss being in the newsroom.
I think your experience is probably a lot like mine. Television newsrooms are generally fun, interesting places because the people are interesting. And if you don't make it fun, you're just not going to survive. Some of the stories will just depress you so badly that I use the humor to build up a wall to, keep that compartmentalized. But I love newsrooms. They're fun places.
It is fun. It's something, and we're talking with Paul Majors here on CCO. You have all such a variety of people, right? You have from the people who are sort of are well, not sort of, it's undeniable, especially in your heyday here, where the local television news anchor person, you were the most famous people in Minnesota. And then you have people who are, you know, part-time workers who are running audio or creative photographers or boring accountants. I mean, you have all, it's such a variety of people working in mm-hmm. these TV stations. It's to me, I always like that.
It's enjoyable. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good mix. It's a very good mix.
Paul Majors.
My favorite recognition thing was this. Oh, yeah. I was coming out of a Minnesota Vikings game one day where they were losing to the Green Bay Packers. And my buddy and I left at, I don't know, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We walked out of the Metrodome, and just walking along, two of us, and I hear, yo. Sort of stop and look back, and there's this guy leaning against the Metrodome. He's got his foot up, smoking a cigarette. He looks at me and goes, you the newsboy? I looked at him proudly, and I said, yes, I am. He just gave me a nod. I can still see what that guy looks like.
Isn't that funny? It is amazing how those moments sort of, you know, and that was probably 40 years ago, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
But it just, some of those moments and faces just sear in your mind. Paul Majors is with us here on Jason Talks the Media. Do you have, are there moments or stories or times you've been on the air that's you know, as you kind of run through that catalog? I mean, you were on the air for so long, but are there certain things that stand out for you as highlights and favorites?
Well, the story that moved me the most and still does to this day, when I think about it, I can get emotional, is Jacob Wetterling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one that, to me, that story changed Minnesota. It took Minnesota from this sort of bucolic setting in my mind to just another place where bad stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I wasn't here when Jacob vanished in what it was, 1989, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
But
there was that. That's the one that moved me the most. Changed. Yeah. I think probably changed me the most, too. You know, because we were in contact a lot with his, particularly his mother, Patty.
Right.
And we had a reporter at the time, Dennis Stauffer, who covered that story for us. And Dennis did an outstanding job and was on top of that. So you dealt with it. We lived with it every day. You know, it didn't go away for a long, long, long time. And then, of course, you ultimately have the ending to that story that, you know, took place all that not that long ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's a day I'll never forget, being on the air when that happened, you know. I wonder if you think, and maybe it doesn't matter, but I wonder if the average viewer understands how, especially like those types of stories really stick with us. I don't know if they should care or not, but they do, you know.
Right before I retired in Los Angeles, there was a story there that I said to myself, you know what? I just can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So in South Los Angeles, there's a guy, an immigrant, who worked his way into this 7-Eleven working there, something like a 7-Eleven, you know, sort of a generic neighborhood corner market thing. And three kids, raising his family. Then he eventually owns the little store, right? Works his butt off, is kind to everybody in the neighborhood, by all accounts. People who didn't have money, he'd just give them the product and say, pay me when you can pay me. And there were numerous stories about him like that. Some couple of gangsters come in and say, tag his walls, right? So he's out there before the store ever opens on a weekend morning, just whitewashing his wall. They come and get mad at him for covering up their tags and shoot him dead. Mm. Over that. I just said that one was one that. Well, I hate to be this uplifting for you. Right.
Those ones are hard. Those ones are hard, yeah, though.
And, you know, there's the ones you don't. You know, people don't. You know, those things pile up on you.
Yes, it is. It's the cumulative effect for sure. And the uplifting stories and the light. What's amazing about that, and that's what I'm going to share after we take a break. So many texts and tweets have been coming in. Just little interactions that people all these years later remember with you. So I want to ask you about that. And we have a lightning round of questions for you, too. So stand by for that. Paul Majors, former Care 11, KCBS in L.A. I also want to get his take on the CNN news that is breaking today. Chris Licht leaving the network after that really damning profile that came out in The Atlantic. More with Paul Majors when we continue here on CCO. Text coming in for Paul Majors. I was that guy at the Metrodome. Well, look at that, Paul. It's such a small world. Another texter. I am a decent-looking guy. Some actually say good-looking, but I stood next to Paul Majors at Byerly's Minnetonka Deli and felt like a schmuck. What did you think of the fact that, like, people, and when you'd read a profile on you, there always was jibber-jabber about your appearance. I mean, it was always positive, but there still was a lot of talk about how good-looking Paul Majors was.
You know, what an embarrassing question to ask.
Yeah. Because, Paul, whenever anyone writes about me, it's always about how I don't look like the traditional newsman.
That's like, a good thing.
I don't know. I think they're saying that I'm ugly and fat.
Yeah,
I think
you stand out that way. I always said if I went on with a bald head and an eye patch, everybody would remember me.
Well,
Q ratings would be really high.
It's true.
Paul
Douglas, working with Paul Douglas all those years.
What a treat.
But for him or for you?
For me. He's a guy with a joy to work with. We're still friends.
I just texted him
while he was doing your weather.
Paul was probably complaining about me not giving him enough time. It was the same thing he complained about when we were over at Channel 4.
Well, at Care 11, we called him a time hog.
Yeah, exactly. We just play the music when he has 30 seconds left, and then he knows it's like, this is it. It's like the Oscars. We play you off.
Well, people used to ask me, how much time do you give the weather? And it is unusual in Minnesota. I mean, we would give Doug, we'd give him 3 minutes and 30 seconds, right?
Right.
In L.A., you get a minute 20. Yeah. Maybe the surf forecast takes up most of that, because if you screw up the surf forecast, those surfers will storm the building. But we would give Doug 3:30, and the reason why I would tell people, because about 360 days a year, the weather in Minnesota can kill you. That's why it's important.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's true. Today, you know, CNN has been the big story in national media, and Chris Licht did something very strange, I think, which is letting a magazine reporter follow him around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, the ego in that is puzzling to me when you're trying to figure things out and get your team on board. But a lot of conversation been about how CNN is trying to do straight news. And I always think in local news, we didn't have to fight this battle as much, because politics, a pothole has no politics, or a murder. You know, a lot of what local news does is not as political as what CNN does. But what are your thoughts on what he was trying to do?
I really don't know what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And I think you summed it up best. His ego got the best of him, allowing that to happen. That was all ego on his part.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you just pointed out, whether you're watching Fox or CNN or MSNBC or any of those, basically it's opinion programming that looks like news.
Right. It's a show.
And in fact, that's one thing I never, ever said on the air. I said, hey, stick with us. The show will be right back. I always referred to it as a newscast. I never, ever called it the show. If I did, it was a slip. And not that I would, even at that time, I felt that was important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's back when, you know, Fox really didn't have an impact. CNN really didn't have an impact. Those opinion shows were just sort of out there. They were outliers, not sort of mainstream the way they are now.
Yeah, I think if you're CNN, it's sort of a fool's game to try to, you know, they're trying to not be as antagonistic to Donald Trump, I guess. So they're trying to be a little more down the middle. But It's challenging in this environment right now where the old way that we would cover politics would be, you know, this reasonable person has this opinion and this other person says, no, like, I think this would be a better way to get there. And it sort of assumes that the people involved are being honest and, you know, honest actors in the process. And yeah. That's not our politics today. So I don't know if you can do it the old way.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. You know, I remember that. Now, this is a name from the past that some of your listeners will not know. Sam Donaldson was the White House correspondent for ABC for years and years.
Yeah.
And he was a lightning rod. And I was flying with him one time to a story, sitting next to him, which was a treat for me because I was very young. And I was talking to him about being a lightning rod. He said half the mail, not email, half the mail that he gets, people think he's a Republican. He's doing their bidding. The other half said he's a Democrat. He's doing their bidding. And he turned and looked at me and said, he said, I guess I'm doing something right. And that always sort of stuck with me. Yeah. And I was half hate you and the other half hate you as well. And maybe you are doing
it. Maybe it's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you retired in L.A., you came forward and talked about your battle with alcoholism. I know a lot of us in Minnesota and certainly in L.A. too, you know, I was very moved by you being forward and talking about it. And how are you doing? How's it going?
Well, let's see. I'm coming up on 7 years of being sober. And it's a hell of a good deal. You know, I'll say this. I knew I had a problem, and I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't do anything about it until someone asked me if I wanted help, and that happened to be a brother of mine. And I was grateful and thankful for his help. So I'm doing great. Thank you very much. In fact, the help that was extended to me, I try and extend to others.
Well, and I hope that when people heard your story the first time and are reminded of it now, that it does give people some empathy into the scenario where you know, someone who's going down that road often can't stop it. It's not that you're making you are making a choice, but you're also not making a choice, you know?
Yeah. When you're a real alcoholic, you're generally without some sort of outside force, you're not going to accomplish it yourself. You might for short periods of time, you know, and that's great. And people do. I have a girlfriend in Seattle. She's a close friend of ours. After I got sober, she started asking me questions, quite a few questions. And she's been sober now for 5 years on her own.
Wow. Cool. That's cool.
So it happens.
Yeah. All right,
if
Paul Majors.
If you're struggling and you need help, just ask somebody. That's the point.
That's really good. Good message. Paul Majors, time for the lightning round. Here we go. A couple of questions. So dramatic. Do you like that? Minnesota, what is your favorite lake?
Lake of the Isles.
Did you prefer Minneapolis or St. Paul?
I lived in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Would you like to let out kind of your deep-seated hatred for St. Paul right now, for once and for all?
No, a friend of mine once said this about St. Paul. I had just come back from St. Paul, bumped into him. He said, where were you? I said, I was over in St. Paul. It was the dead of winter. It was like February. And he said, well, what were you doing over there? And I told him, and I said, you know, it's just one of those gray, dull winter days. And he looked at me and he said, you know what St. Paul reminds me of this time of year? And I said, what's that? He said, an Eastern Bloc European capital in the 1950s.
Ouch!
I thought, what a great description.
Yeah. That's harsh.
Yeah, it was hard.
Ketchup or mustard?
Both.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Are you, as a former member of the media, left wing or far left wing?
I am right down the middle.
What's the last TV show that you've watched or binged or enjoyed?
The Diplomat.
The Diplomat. That is on my next up list. So worth a watch?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I like Kerry Washington. She's a good actress.
Final question. Paul Majors, what's your favorite thing about me, Jason DeRussia?
God, I've got to ponder that because, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people
do.
A lot of
people. Conclusions, and, you know, as you continue to grow in this new role on the radio, you keep changing.
Yeah.
And so I have to adapt to your changes.
It's confusing.
It's probably your ability to to say a lot without saying much.
Yeah, thank you. That's Boyd Hooper said my humility was really his favorite thing about me. So that makes sense.
There is a man with humility, Boyd Hooper.
Oh, my gosh. What a guy. Incredible human and such a storyteller.
Best writer I've ever been around.
Oh, man. Every once in a while when he and I were on the same story, if I felt like my story, my version was like in the conversation with his version, I was riding that high for months. Like,
well, here's what I would say to myself after I would watch one of his stories on our air. I've always felt, Jason, that in constrained time periods, I'm as good as anybody reporting a story, right?
Yes.
I can get it out, get it right, get it correct, and make it impactful. But Boyd would write some stories where I would say to myself, if I had a lifetime, I couldn't have written that well.
Yeah.
That's how good he is. He is a treasure. He really is.
Paul Majors, this was really fun. Thanks for doing it. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on. I do appreciate it.
It was really great. Paul Majors, everybody. 4:34, we'll do traffic and weather together and then be right back with Drive Time with DeRussia.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
When I tell my wife that I'm going to a dinner with all guys, I get a look. I get a dirty look. Like maybe she's worried that I'm up to no good. Maybe she just doesn't like the idea that there's sort of an exclusionary thing going on. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, this idea of girls' trips or guys' nights and whether they make sense in our current climate, our current understanding of the world. And I keep going back and forth. Part of me loves it, loves it. I live my life mostly publicly. Right? So I try to think through things. I know this comes as a surprise to many of you, but I try to think through things before I just blurt it out on the radio or on social media. But there's something kind of refreshing about being able to, I guess, workshop ideas without people jumping down your throat. What do you think about kind of a girls' weekend? It seems to me generally the pushback comes when it's only guys. If it's all girls going on a vacation, it's like, that's girls' trip, woo! But if it's a bunch of guys, now maybe if guys do a vacation, it's the same thing. Maybe it's the dinner. Maybe it's the gathering. Maybe it's the conversation. I don't know. I just wanted to take the pulse of you guys on this. At 651-461-9226. You know, Dan, I wonder in the context of ministry, is there value or is it seen as like, I mean, because it is exclusionary, there's no doubt about it.
Well, I mean, but any...
But so is life.
Any
so
line you're
going
to draw is eventually going to become exclusionary.
Like, is it a safe space for people?
I think it can be. I think there's value in shared experience. Right. In discussing shared experiences. I also think there's value in sharing diverse experiences.
Yes. Yes.
So I don't know that it has to be all one or all the other.
If you're only getting together with
people with shared experiences.
Fellow white guys.
That's a problem.
For me or whatever.
Yep, that's
right.
a problem.
Right.
But I also think that there's room for, you know, people, again, whatever that shared experience would be, whether that's a matter of gender, whether it's a matter of sexuality, whether that's a matter of what job you have. You know, you and Paul just got done raving about working in a newsroom. Well, that's a shared experience that only people that have done that would really truly understand. And you immediately, you could tell that there was a bonding between the two of you as you talked about that because you both had that shared experience.
Right.
So I think there's value in that. But as I said, you know, you don't want to eventually be totally in that particular bubble. So is there room for it? Sure. Should it be the only kind of experiences we have? No.
651-461-9226. If I announced on this radio station that we were having a drive time with DeRussia, dude's happy hour, would you think that's weird?
I think we'd have some very angry female fans.
Well, then we'd...
I can think of two right off the top of my head.
Then we'd
get some letters.
What if we had a drive time with DeRussia ladies' nights? Then I'd have other conversations that would be trouble.
Yeah,
I suppose.
And, you know, how comfortable is your couch, Jason?
I just was thinking about it while I was at dinner last night. All guys, a lot of these people were business leaders. Most people wouldn't know. Some people, maybe people would have been like, oh, I know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of nice to have like a totally off the record dinner where you could say whatever you want. Now, sometimes saying I want a safe space where I can say whatever I want is an excuse for you to get together and be sexist or be racist. And I guess I would... I feel obligated to clarify that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what was going on, and it's not what I'm looking for. I think because we are a more accepting and open, generally speaking, society today than we were 20 years ago.
Sure.
If you're someone like me, you worry that doing something that is defined only by gender. Guys getting together, saying what they want, not worried. Guys being guys. All I know is I liked it. And I don't want to only do it, but I liked it. And it made me think, is that all right that I like it? Am I committing a crime against feminism?
I think the very fact that you're asking yourself that question proves that that's not a bad thing. That you have the self-awareness to go, here's a thing, but here's where that thing could go wrong.
Yeah.
If it's abused or
maybe.
If it's, you know. And I think as long as you have that in mind, I think you're doing just fine.
Don't women sometimes want to talk about stuff with only women, not having guys in there to mansplain?
We all crave community in various forms. It's just that's hardwired into the human experience. And the easiest way to create community or create that kind of trusting bond is through shared experience.
Hmm.
And there are things that women experience that men don't and vice versa. And so, yeah, we're drawn to that kind of stuff.
Right.
We just have to be self-aware enough to realize that that's not the only thing out there and that we need to be broadened beyond that.
651-461-9226. Text coming in. I'll share some of your thoughts. More thoughts welcome as we get ready for Minnesota Twins pregame activity. That starts right here on CCO at 5. All right, Twins are on the air coming up in just a couple of minutes. So if you want to hang out with a bunch of guys listening, you can. Jason, guys getting together is a different conversation. Boys weekend means more drinking, more chat about common interests, more history than all the wives getting together as well, and it's healthy. I'm going on a girly weekend with friends I've known since junior high in a couple weeks. I'm trying to not overthink it, but I'm already planning an exit strategy because all of them are of a certain political party opposite of mine. I could go all weekend getting caught up on each other's lives and not mention politics. But I'm 99% sure they will talk politics. I'll tell you, that can absolutely ruin one of these gatherings. Part of having that group, that core, if it's all girls or all guys, you sort of have to understand the rules, right? And it, not to say you can't talk politics, but you can't refuse to consider someone else's view. That's what gets annoying, where it's someone who's just spewing the talking points and not willing to self-analyze. Ugh. And it can sort of poison the whole deal. Another texter says, I've often hosted what we call man nights at my house. In the morning, my wife cleans up and tells me she has to go out to the deck and wash the testosterone off the deck. But she's fine with my man nights. Good, good. All right, you guys made me feel a little better, but I was a little worried. I'm like, am I doing all right? Plenty of things you guys could cancel me about. This isn't going to be it. That's it for us. Pablo Lopez, let's have a night. He gets the start. Sean Armstrong for Tampa. We could use a win. 5:40, first pitch. Pre-game is 4 minutes away on CCO.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.